Oh, wow. So my wife and I are excited to fellowship with you today. And so greetings from Southport Church of Christ. It is an honor and privilege to share the Word of God with you this morning. And so the title this morning's message is about life together, the ministry of one another. And today we're going to talk about the importance of being in life together. And so I just want to ask this question. What if the greatest struggle, spiritual struggle, in our generation is not persecution, but isolation? Think about that. We have never been more connected through technology, yet many people have never felt more alone, right? And we experienced this during COVID. We have thousands of Facebook friends, hundreds of Instagram followers, endless text messages. Yet many people carry their burdens by themselves. God never designed the Christian life to be lived alone. The church is not a place you attend. It is a family where you belong. Just imagine church. What if church became more than a Sunday service? What if someone sitting beside you today desperately needs the encouragement that only you can give? Folks, look at the person next to you. Aren't they good looking? What if the greatest spiritual breakthrough isn't waiting another sermon, but around a dinner table in a life group or small group, whatever you call it, connect group? What if God wanted to use your ordinary home to do extraordinary ministry? What if someone meets Jesus because you simply invited them to your table? You know, Acts chapter 2 happened 2,000 years ago, but the impact is still happening. You know, friends, we live in a culture that says, protect yourself, do life on your own, you don't need anyone. But the Word of God, the Bible, this Bible here, tells us completely a different story. God's answer to loneliness is not independence. It is community, a church family where you and I belonged. Just imagine this for a moment. Are you imagining? You walk into a house that has been just built. Can you see that? It has fresh paint, strong walls, a solid foundation. But what makes that house a home? It's not the walls or the roof. It's the family inside, living in love and unity. People, a lot of people today spend hours scrolling through other people's lives, right? Well, you know, sometimes we walk in the street, it's scary because they don't look at the Word. Just scrolling. Yet, they have no one to call when life falls apart. We need more than followers, we need family. Commitment is not tested when life is easy. Is that true? Commitment is revealed when life becomes inconvenient. Anyone can show up when everything is going well. But the Bible says, I will still be there when you're grieving. I will still be there when you're struggling. When you're doubting, when you're so tired, I will be there for you. And as we study this snapshot of the early church, a pattern emerges. They focus on gathering, called fellowship. Not only that, on the gospel, on the goodwill, and on glorifying God. Because the early church maintained these four focus along their journey. And God continually added to those who are being saved to their numbers. Isn't that beautiful? And so if you have your Bible, you continue to open it. Thank you, Ken, for reading the passage for us this morning. And just before we continue this message, I wanted to start with a prayer that God, the Holy Spirit, will reveal to us the central message of this passage. And my prayer is that all of us in this room will hear God's message clearly, be touched by the Holy Spirit, and come out transformed to live God's purpose for our lives. Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be guided by your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you touch our hearts and minds. We come out transformed today. In Jesus' name, amen. And so before we dive into this message, let me just give you the historical context of this passage. Are you ready? This is exciting, church, because this is inspirational. This will enrich and energize us as a church community. Because the believers continued to use the temple for their place of worship and ministry. But also they've met in various homes. Can you imagine 3,000 new believers needed instruction in the Word of God and fellowship with God's people if they want to grow and become effective witnesses of Jesus Christ? Imagine that. And the early church did more than make new believers. They made disciples that makes disciples. And that the Great Commission is their mandate, right? We all know that. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it says, "Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." That is the pre-Christian evangelism. And then it says, verse 20, "And teach them, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And he gave it a promise, and he says, "And surely I will always with you to the very end of the age." What a promise. The church, the early church was unified, magnified, and multiplied. It had a powerful testimony among the unsaved Jews and the Gentiles, not only because of the miracles done by the apostles, but also because of the way the members of the fellowship loving each other, serving one another as they serve the Lord. What a church, don't you think? Because the Christian you meet in the book of Acts were not just content with meeting once a week for services as usual. They met daily. They care daily. They won souls daily. They search the Bible daily and increase in numbers daily. Wow. You see, their Christian faith was a day-to-day reality, not a once-a-week routine. Why? Because the risen Lord Jesus Christ was a living reality to them. And His resurrection power was at work in their lives through the Holy Spirit. It is a faith journey began on a remote hillside near Jerusalem where Jesus said goodbye to His disciples and His followers ascended into heaven. But before He left, He gave them the proof of His resurrection, the power of the Holy Spirit, and a purpose to fulfill. Their journey is the story of a movement that burst forth like a bushfire.
and continue to spread out of Jerusalem and spill unto the ends of the earth. Wow. You see, church, when you hear the word church, what comes to your mind? For many, it is a building with a cross on top. And for many, it's a service once a week. But the church in the New Testament, the Greek word is ekklesia. It is a gathering of God's people, a family called out of the world into Christ Jesus. That's what church is all about. That's why in Acts 2:42, it says they devoted themselves to teaching, to fellowship, which is koinonia. I'm going to talk about that in a sec. Breaking bread and prayer. And I like your service. You include prayer all the time. It's so beautiful. And so this wasn't just a weekly event. It was a way of life. That's why I'm going to focus on fellowship today. So what is fellowship? The word the Apostle Luke uses here is koinonia. Can you say that word? Koinonia. That's good. It's just more than gathering together. Because the word koinonia is an ancient Greek word referring to fellowship, communion, sharing, or partnership. And one of the main purposes we come to church is for fellowship. You cannot get fellowship listening to a sermon online. True? You cannot have fellowship reading a book. You can only have fellowship when you get together. And that's why John Stott says this: the church is not a building, but a people who belong to God and to one another. That belonging is expressed more powerfully, not only in a large gathering, but also in a small gathering, like small group, connect group, life group, whatever you call it. And the modern expression of church in homes. They are dynamic, they are life-changing spaces where discipleship, fellowship, and one another commands become so real. And today, I would like to share with you four key aspects of the word fellowship or koinonia. Number one is this: fellowship is devotion, not convenience. As you can see in verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves. This is a strong language. It means a steadfast, intentional commitment. The early church believers didn't just show up when it was convenient, they rearranged their lives around fellowship. The early church didn't treat fellowship as optional. They were intentional and devoted to each other for mutual spiritual encouragement. They were steadfast in meeting together for koinonia. That's why Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this: the person who loves the dream of community will destroy community. But the person who loves those around them will create community. Isn't that wonderful? And he continued on. He said, we are not meant to be Christians at a distance, but together committed fellowship. I just wanted to picture this. 2025, is that a coach, he kind of a football coach says, they're genuinely bad. They don't like each other. They have no teamwork. And then you remember Broncos 2025, they keep losing, right? And then this journalist, he just hammered them. He said, they had no heart, they had no desire, no passion, no idea. And yet they took that criticism positively, and guess what? Okay, have a look at the next photos, please. They won the grand finals. They won the grand finals. Why? Because they were committed to each other and committed to attend those repetitive drills day in and day out, supporting each other no matter what the cost. The church is God's team. And every member is needed and important. And every individual has a role to play. All of us in this room has a role to play. And that's why the Bible says this in Hebrew, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that no one may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That's why we need to get together. And he continued on in Hebrews 10:24. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another. That is a wonderful active verbs and toward love and good deeds. It's not passive. It is intentional. Not giving up, meeting together, as some in the habit of doing. And then he says, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Can I just say, if you only attend Sunday morning service and not connecting with God's people during the week, you are not experiencing koinonia in a meaningful and purposeful way. You could be just one of the observer, not being involved in the life of the church. And it is hard to grow in your faith in Christ Jesus if you're not participating in the life of the church. You are part of the body of Christ. And maybe today, God is not asking you to do something spectacular. Maybe God is simply asking you to stop doing life alone. So how can we apply this during the week? Well, can I suggest, make gathering a priority. If you're not part of a small group, please join. You know, in our church, we encourage everybody, week after week, on the pulpit, join a small group. Treat them as essential for your spiritual growth. Like a soldier depends on his unit, we depend on each other. And then treat your small group like an appointment with God, not as an option. Why? Because you will meet new people and develop friends for life. True? And if you're not part of it, I know your Pastor Steve will want to encourage you to join a life group. You call it life group? Small groups? Okay. There you go. And so not only that, show up consistently, even when you don't feel like it. How many feel that way? Your presence encourages others. If you're not there, you are being missed. Not only that, encourage daily. How do you do that? Send a text. Make a phone call. Pray for someone during the week. Let me tell you a story. A man in the church once confessed, I came to church services for many years, but I always felt like an observer. It wasn't until I joined a small group that I truly felt like I belonged. When my wife was sick, they prayed with me. When we had needs, they show up with meals. That group carried. Church, that's what devotion looks like. Fellowship is not about showing up. It is about opening up. That's why the second point I want to share with you is that fellowship means sharing life together. In verse 46 of Acts 2, he said they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Koinonia, fellowship, means sharing, partnership, participation. The early believers shared meals. possessions. And they also shared their burdens to each other, to one another. No wonder Bonhoeffer says this, reminding us that Christian community is not an idea we must realize. It is a reality created by God in Christ Jesus in which we participate.
I just show you photos. There you go. Can you imagine if you put all those sticks together? They're unbreakable, right?
And so, but when you remove one, it could be easy to break, like that photo. And so I'm going to ask Paul, let's see if he could break this. He said he doesn't mind. He got a nice muscle. Do you think you can break this with all this? Nick, can you try?
Nope.
It's impossible, isn't it? And so, because they're tied up together, they unify. But if I remove one, and Paul, can you break this? Wow, it's so easy. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for being a good sport. Just imagine that. We are strong when we are unified in Christ, driven by His love, and serve in unity and humility. That's why Paul says in Galatians, he said, carry each other's burden, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burden. And he continues on. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love. And then he says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. It's no longer about me. It's about each other. Isn't that wonderful? So how can we apply this? Well, share meals. Invite someone from church into your home. How many people do that? Awesome. Would be good. If more, isn't it? You can really get to know each other. But also, don't hide your struggles. Share with people who you can trust. So that they can not only pray for you, help you, but also share prayers. What do I mean by that? Don't just say, brother, I pray for you. No, you stop right there and pray for that person on the spot. Maybe that's the kind of hope they need from someone like you. Let me share you another story. A young woman in our small group, once said, I have been in the church for years, but never opened up. But in my life group, for the first time, I shared my struggle with anxiety. Instead of judgment, I found prayer, support, and encouragement. My faith came alive because I realized I wasn't alone. Church, that's the power of koinonia. That's the power of fellowship. Think about this. Let's have a table at bonfire. The more you put a piece of wood, isn't it? The more it intense, the heat gets intense, you know, the more it's visible. But when you remove one piece of wood, what's going to happen with that piece of wood? Surely, eventually, it will die. Why? Because it got no support. Got no support. Genuine community has a center. Without that center, fellowship becomes nothing more than friendship. And that center, number 3 points, is fellowship is centered on Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the rhythm of Acts chapter 2. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to breaking of bread, to prayer and fellowship. Their fellowship wasn't just social. it was Christ-centered. And everything they do is because of Jesus Christ. They discover the power of Jesus Christ into their lives. That's why J.I. Packer says, the essence of koinonia is more, it's not just social activity, but communion with Christ through Him, with one another. And so, church, we need to put Jesus Christ as a top priority in everything that we say and do. Isn't that what Paul says? That's why Paul says, instruct one another. Romans 5:14. And teach and admonish one another. And then he says, confess your sin. James says, to each other and pray for each other. I should continue that verse, says, so that you may be healed. Just imagine, church. Just imagine that no one will sit alone. Imagine children growing up surrounded by spiritual grandparents. Just imagine marriages restored because people prayed together. Just imagine young people finding purpose because someone invested in them. Imagine lonely people discovering family. Imagine your neighbor, whoever your neighbor is, this is what they might say. I don't understand everything they believe. But I wish my family loved each other like that. That is exactly what is happening in the book of Acts. The gospel became visible before it became believable. And the last point I want to share with you, is that all right? Fellowship in the church leads to witness in the world. And the Bible says in verse 47, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The early church's love was magnetic. The outsiders saw Christ Jesus in their fellowship. So, church friends, wherever you go, can they see Jesus manifesting in what you say and what you do? And that's why Mark DeVere says, the church is the gospel made visible. I want you to picture this, all right? Think of small groups as lighthouses along a dark coastline. Can you see that? Each one shines the light of Christ into neighborhoods, schools, and workplaces. Wow. And that is why Peter says this in 1 Peter 4. He says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speak, they should do so. So as one who speaks the very words of God, if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength of God provides. What is the purpose? Here it is. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. What a church. Right? You see, church, when we put these things together into reality, meaning we put them into practice, the Lord Jesus says this, and He reminded us in John 13:35, He says this, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So in practical way, how we do this? How do we do this? Serve together. Can I encourage you, in our church, we have a small group where we adapt a mission project. So one of our group, they realized the neighbor, she's a single old woman and need to mow her lawn because she got no mower to start with. So they went there and cleaned her lawn. And this woman realize that this group is not just a group. It's a group who is in love with Jesus. As I close, a small group cared for their neighbor battling with cancer. He wasn't a Christian, but then, and he said this, if this is what Jesus' people are like, I want to know him. Guess what? The following week, he started coming to church, and then he accepted Jesus and got baptized. How awesome is that? So, church, what would be like? What would be like if every person in this room decided no one will walk alone? What would happen if every small group became a place where people find hope, healing, purpose, and meeting Jesus? What would happen if our homes became places of worship? Our tables became places of ministry. Our conversation became places of encouragement. And I believe Acts chapter 2 wasn't just history. It is God's invitation. The same Holy Spirit who built that church, it is building his church today. And maybe, revival doesn't just begin on a stage. Maybe it's just that begin around a dining table. Maybe it begins with one invitation. Maybe it begins with one conversation. Maybe it begins with one prayer. And maybe it begins with one another.